Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Plan daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, and the All-In King, Jake Seeley. I am Greg Sussman, and I'm always swiping right. What's going on, gentlemen? Happy Valentine's Day, Corey.
Yeah, there you go, right there. Thank you for that. When I was on that app, I swiped right too, but I never had any luck on that app. I saw another one on the train yesterday, and I didn't know what it meant at first, and I didn't know it was a dating app because the whole subway call was
Grindr.
No, it wasn't that one. The whole subway cart was plastered with signs that said DTF. And I was like, well, what is this?
You're like, I like this one.
I didn't know what it was at first. Then I saw where it said OK Cupid. And I was like, this is a dating app? And I'm like, what about dating is DTF? Then I thought about it. And I said, well, let me download it. Yeah. I did not download it, though.
You didn't download it?
No, I didn't download it. I don't need the app for that. But another thing, just now after the program's ended, I texted, I went through everybody, not everybody, I went through, some of my favorite young ladies in my telephone, and I wished them happy Valentine's Day. And I hate when I wish a young lady happy Valentine's Day, and she texts back, same to you. It's kind of like, Valentine's Day is for you, not for me. So
sure.
Just say thank you and keep it moving. You don't have to say same to me. You don't have to wish me happy Valentine's. That's like me saying happy birthday and you saying same to you. It's not my birthday. It's
not really.
Jake, I don't think happy Valentine's Day is a female holiday.
I mean, we can say same to you. You can walk down the street. How's it going, buddy? Yeah, screw you. Does that make you feel better? that's what you want, Corey?
No, I mean, just be like, oh, thank you. Not same to you, because I'm not really.
Well, she's wishing you a happy Valentine's Day, too.
Yeah, well, that's nice of her.
Well, just because it's Valentine's Day, can I read this tweet from the fake Tiger Tracker?
If you like, sure.
Tiger, when asked why he hadn't played here at the Riviera since 2006, well, when you have a wife and 14 girlfriends, there's no time for golf the week of Valentine's Day.
That's a good one.
I wish that was real.
Yeah. No.
I wish that was real. So there you go. Matt, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Happy Valentine's Day to all.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Jake Seeley, you're the All-In Kid. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing better than, hey, you know who got no love last night? Jose Bautista didn't even get drafted.
Oh, I didn't know that. Jose Bautista did not get drafted. Huh. I didn't know that. So, speaking of last night, let's get into the labor draft, shall we? You guys talked a lot about it last hour. We're talking a lot about it next hour.
I just got Christina just text me back. Thanks, babe.
Not even paying attention.
Babe.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you need. You don't need to say you too. Just say thanks, whatever. Thanks, Corey, or thanks, babe, or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Corey complaining because he sent 17 girls a happy Valentine's Day. One of them wished him a happy Valentine's Day back.
They're coming in slow, Jake. They're coming back
it's
in
still
slow.
Early on the West Coast.
We have all precincts have not reported yet. So far, we sent about 17. We've gotten two replies.
Well, that was my question, was how many you sent.
How many? Okay, so far, I sent... So far, I sent one via Facebook because her boyfriend be checking her phone, so I don't want that drama. So far, I've sent 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So far, I've sent 7. I still got 2 more to send. I've gotten my daughter's mother, Thomasine. She replied already. Happy Valentine's Day, baby daddy. So that was good.
Corey, what's up? You're better than sending somebody who has a boyfriend. Come on.
No, well, Jake.
He's not better than that.
She started. So she started.
It takes 2 to tango.
And she replied, okay, happy Valentine's Day to you too, babe. See, I don't need that back. Just say thanks. That's it. So far, I've got 1 thanks and 2 and 3 replies of also wishing me a happy Valentine's Day, which from Thomasine, I understand because it's different. Yeah.
Did you text both of your baby mamas happy Valentine's Day?
I will text. No, see, with Jaden's mom, I'll send Jaden a text and be like, tell your mother I said happy Valentine's Day because she's a married woman. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't want that problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Thomasine's
not. Okay. That doesn't mean anything. That does not mean anything.
Okay.
Last night, I was speaking with her, and she was like, we're eating pancakes for dinner. I was like, can you send me some? She said, I don't cook for you anymore. That's to let you know
it's
where
true.
She stands.
It is. Yes. That is true.
I suddenly want pancakes.
Yeah, I don't know why they have pancakes for dinner.
Did your daughter say happy Valentine's Day to you too?
I got the Valentine's Day text from her at 6:05 this morning.
Very nice.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So you raised her right.
Can I ask you one more question, Corey?
Sure.
Is your sports idol Antonio Cromartie?
No, stop it. I only got two kids, Jake. Two is very good.
You're only a dozen behind.
Yeah. Two is very good. Two is very good.
Two's a fair number.
Two's a fair number. My parents had 2 kids. You have one sibling,
right? I have one sibling, yeah.
You have one sibling, right? Jake, you got a sister, right?
Yeah.
So there
sister.
You go.
Yeah. But
I was talking more about the baby mamas than
the
kids.
They have a combined unit, whereas mine's a spread out. Jaden's mother was a college sweetheart.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Thomasine was the one until she wasn't the one anymore.
Until I wasn't the one anymore. Until I wasn't.
And now he's got 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Now was that 7?
Now we see what we can do. So as they come in, I'll let you know. This is interesting right here. I did not text her yet. But this is a snap. Hopefully she wouldn't text me. Oh, no. This is. Oh,
we're hoping it's not a Hugh Jackson day, though.
No.
I'm enjoying this.
So this will be my 10th one of the day.
10th one of the day. Here we go.
This is, I don't want to say her name.
No, you have to say her name. Yeah, you have to say her name.
This is,
Because she's watching?
No, she's not. She's definitely not watching. She's just, never mind. Let's move. Keep moving. She's a thought. Go ahead.
Okay. So the labor draft took place last night.
Yeah, Jake was in it.
He was. So, gentlemen, in front of you, you have...
Jake is the defensive champion.
That's true, too.
Sure. In front of you, you have hearts,
yes.
Right? Oh, I'm sorry, boy. That was yours. I'm going to give you each a heart. And we're on TV. All right, so I want to pass those. I want to pass these to you. And we're going to talk about a player in the draft. Maybe Jake took them. Maybe not. Maybe somebody else took them. Now, you will respond your thoughts on the pick by holding up the heart.
Okay.
Okay? That's the plan for this. Jake, are you ready?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Now, again, this is a different show than the last show we did. So it's totally different. So we repeat stuff.
Same people.
But not necessarily the same listeners.
Not necessarily the same listeners. Quite sure the Goon Squad is still out there.
I hope the Goon Squad is still out there. Here we go. What is your opinion on Jake's selection of Daniel Murphy in the 5th round?
Two choices.
Oh, there's stuff written on the hearts?
Yes.
Yeah, we got stuff written. I'm going to say swipe right.
You're swipe right.
Yeah, I'm going to swipe
That's
right.
Good. You like that.
Yeah, but even though we still want to see what the injury concerns is with Daniel Murphy, you know he's a powerful offensive player, real toolsy guy that could do a lot for your fantasy team. We hope that he has recovered fully from the injury.
All right, so you're in. Fifth round, Daniel Murphy. You swiped right.
I swiped right on Daniel.
All right, let's see what Matt Wadika does.
It's not of no way,
okay,
which I have here in my hand.
Right.
It's I'm really hesitant on this injury. That's why.
So I was you're going to say, you say your money's on the dresser instead?
Maybe. I guess it was that. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
This money on the dresser one, I'm going to take this one home with me.
If I leave money in the dresser, it won't be there when I get home. I'll tell you that much.
I live alone, so my money will be on the dresser until I invite someone to take it. Well, I'm taking this home with me.
Okay, fair enough.
Go ahead.
Continue, Matt, sorry.
Yeah, so it's just, I like Daniel Murphy a lot. And if he's coming in fully healthy, I'm just worried 33 microfracture, it scares the hell out of me.
Scares the hell out of me too, Jake. And to see you take Daniel Murphy, listen, I know you had the big power bats up top of Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge, took him the first two picks overall. You got our guy AJ Pollock, who we talked a lot about over the past week. And then you came back with Daniel Murphy, and that's just a lot of risk there, I thought, given that he's coming back from microfracture. Obviously, you take him in the fifth round. You were not worried about that.
No, I am worried about it, but in the fifth round, I thought that was also quality value. Normally, without that concern, I think he goes probably towards the end of the third, even fourth round, early in the fourth round. So it's more so the fact that the value is already there. And like I said, at this point of the draft, after drafting AJ Pollock, after the Judge stand thing, like that was just kind of letting it all hang out. You see that by the entire draft.
Gentlemen, I noticed by looking at this, there is a major run on second baseman in this draft. Like, second baseman went very high. Like, Jake took Daniel Murphy in the fifth. Before that, you had D. Gordon and Jose Altuve, Brian Dozier, Jonathan Scope. But in that fifth round that Jake took Daniel Murphy, you had both Robinson Cano and my guy in the fifth round, Whit Merrifield. So,
yeah, that was crazy.
Take up the hearts. What do you think of Whit Merrifield?
I could tell you the one thing about you want me to talk now while
LOL,
they're doing that?
LOL, says Corey Parson. Matt Wadika?
In the fifth?
In the fifth round, Stefania Bell, FSWA Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I would have went no way.
No way, and an LOL.
And I did take him like in the sixth round of the pitch Arizona draft.
It's only a round later.
But that was like the first week of November where I was just
Jake,
had nothing in front of me.
You wanted to chime in on this one. What did you think?
Well, it's not just a Whit Merrifield. Is that if you look at the entire draft board, and maybe this is something that people can learn from this draft and learn going forward, is if you look at it, stolen bases were supremely valued, like highly valued. Like, you bumped up everybody. Anybody who had 30-plus stolen base potential moved up 2, 3, 4 rounds on some of these guys. And it's just like Jose Peraza. Like, I know the potential, but like at this point, do you really think he's going to bat well or even get you many runs and RBIs? And look at where he went. So if you're gonna get steals, you're going to have to pay a premium. And Whit Merrifield was the first example of that.
Okay. I do want to ask you this, Jake. We talked about this on FST earlier today. Not only did Jose Bautista not get drafted, my guy Daniel Mengden didn't get drafted either.
Who was that?
We talked about him on our
pitcher
show an hour
Daniel
ago.
Daniel what?
Mengden. Where you were sitting right there.
I was not sitting here. I do not remember hearing you talk
about
We
were on Daniel, YouTube.
Talking about Daniel Mengden?
Yes.
We talked about somebody else on YouTube.
No. Well, yeah, other players, but also Daniel Mengden.
Who do you play for?
The Oakland Athletics.
Oh, did you talk about
Shomania.
You want me to talk about
Matt Chapman, Matt Olson?
Yeah. All right.
You tuned out the Daniel Mengden part.
I tuned out Daniel Mengden. Be perfectly honest with you, Greg.
All right.
So, what's your question about him?
Why didn't he get drafted? He's good.
I don't know.
He's not that
He should have been nice. Like, I drafted him, but he should. I mean, I could see him going in the 27th, 28th, 29th rounds. Like that.
He's Joe Musgrove went the 21st. Yeah, maybe they didn't even get drafted.
Billy Hayes did not like that or something. I saw something.
I don't like Musgrove either, but what? It's a similar situation. Is like the fact of like how many – is he going to get 30? No, he's not going to get 30 starts. He's probably somewhere in the 20-25 range. The ERA last year I don't believe in, mostly because I don't think he's ever been that kind of pitcher. And the strikeouts aren't there. There's just no strikeout upside with him. So at best, I mean, if he ever hit his ceiling, you might hope he turns into a Lance Lynn, but I don't even think he's that.
See, like, late in drafts, what I'm going to do, like, post-20 rounds is I'm going to look at the guys that have a rotation spot going in, and, look, they can lose that spot. That's obvious because you're drafting them so late. But Musgrove, more so, is guaranteed to – they're going to have a long leash with him. It should – you know, let's see what happens. Let's see if the – he said it wasn't pitching in relief. It was a different grip on the ball that really helped him. So for Musgrove, I will hold much higher than Mengden. Megden's like a much later guy, like those last couple of rounds for me. as, you know, you can take a shot. And if you, you know, if you get 20-plus starts, that's a home run. That means he's not pitching terribly for the most part. And with Musgrove, I think there is more to like.
I'll give you one thing. I would have taken him over McHugh, who went in the last round.
Thank you. He should have. Unbelievable. I like
that. Well, because to Matt's point, I don't know that McHugh ever gets back into the rotation this year.
Well, let's get straighted.
Yeah, I got to think he's maybe somebody. It's interesting how cluttered that is. I mean, Brad Peacock, I would think, unless they want to keep him in a role, but they have so many damn relievers now. Like, isn't Peacock next in line? I've kind of viewed him as the Morton McCullough handcuff. And that leaves McHugh behind him. The GM's on record already saying they're going to hold back Whitley from inviting him to the Major League camp, because they could see him coming in, helping them out in the second half of the season. And this is like probably, you know, maybe the best minor league pitcher right now. So there's just many ways, many clutters, put it that way.
All right. All right. Let's continue our holding up the hearts here today on the labor draft. Jake, how did you feel about the draft overall?
Like I said earlier on the other shows, I like my team a lot. I had fun with it. I know that it's a highly risky team. Like, if you gave me a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 9 or a 10 in the risk factor. But that's why I'm going to have fun with it. I kind of fell into that range. I said earlier, too, I was playing with house money. I won last year. I wanted to kind of have some fun this year and less stressful and not worry about, oh, I got to get my win. I got to finish at the top, that type of thing. The only thing is, I know I'm lacking in speed. I know that just happened. I wasn't willing to pay the price. And then at a lot of times, the later round, where I was targeting the 20 type of steel guys, every single time I had one of them in my queue, you know, I got snaked 3 or 4 picks before it got to me. Sometimes it was the immediate pick right before me, and that's what happens in a snake. This is why I prefer auction.
I prefer auction anything, to be honest with you. Like, I always want the opportunity and the ability to do whatever I want to do, to get my guys, to go out there and get my guys. So I'll always prefer an auction.
I think a snake draft is actually harder than an auction.
For the reasons that Jake mentioned.
Yeah, because you're pretty much pigeonholed, at least for the first couple of rounds. So your foundation is, for the most part, dictated to you.
You're a slave to the board.
You are. But, Jake, your spot at 8, I actually prefer your spot, to be honest with you. I like being in the middle because I can't get stuck on a run. Like, you're there. You won't get caught on either end. So I always prefer that, to be honest with you.
No, I think you can still get caught in runs. There's always 14 picks between you. And the thing is, you can't ever kind of control anything. You have to, like, well, you don't get caught in, like, a severe run where you have to wait 20, 25 picks. And obviously you can get hit big time with a run in that. The fact is, on the other flip side of it, the argument is, because you pick close within 5-6 picks of yourself, sometimes you can force the board yourself. Sometimes you can force people to do things. If you went power, if you went steals twice in a row, if you went 2 closers, like, you can sometimes force people into situations like I'm in, where now I'm looking for steals because you did something on the board to affect the rest of the draft. And that's why I don't want to be at the turn, unless I'm Mike Trout. I'd love to be the number one. That's the only, I don't want to be on the 15 turn. I'd rather be in the 1 turn, but I'd rather be in that 3-4 pick or that 10-11 than right dead in the middle.
Hey.
Did you get response back from number 8?
Well, Corey, listen, Corey.
No, I just got. We have.
He's holding his hand up high.
We have an update. So Sadie hits me back. She goes, same to you. And that's not what I was looking for. I just was looking for a thank you. Not a same to me. You do not need to wish me happy Valentine's Day. It's not a male holiday.
Are you looking for, what are you doing tonight?
Not really. Not really. Especially not with this one right here. She live in the D. She live in Detroit. She came up here. She was up here. Girls trip, and then she kind of fell in love with the fantasy executive. She's straight. She put together, has the personality of this bottle, though. It's not going to work. I like to talk and stuff like that. And if you're just silent and you don't know what I'm talking about, it makes it uninteresting.
Have you heard from your roommate yet?
That, Greg, will be the last one I send. I do not have
roommate.
Hamilton weekend.
Hamilton weekend.
That will be the last one I send.
Why? Why is it the last one you sent, not the first one you sent?
Because that's the good. That'll be the one where it'll probably be a conversation afterwards or something like that. I'll be off when I send that one.
Okay, because you want to have the ability to sit there on your phone and
Yeah, but no, I'll actually have to pick up the telephone and have a conversation.
Oh, you have to call her.
Yeah, like that'll be the last one. That'll be the last one.
Wow. Okay. Well, how long?
The last two will be sitting around the same time.
How long are you going to
wait? Those are the important people.
How long are you going to wait? I mean, you got to
I'm almost, I'll be off in a little bit. Okay. I gotta go uptown, make some runs right quick, then I'll send it probably while
oh,
I'm
I was supposed
that.
To tell you we need you to make a run with a board.
Oh, I gotta do that. Yeah. That works.
Doesn't take long.
No, that works. I had planned on doing that. I had told people I'd be there at 3 o'clock thinking that something would keep me here a little longer.
So there you go. Now you talk Jake.
Hey, hold on, time out, hold on. You always ask everybody else. Has anybody asked you what are your plans for Valentine's Day?
I was going out for dinner, but my girlfriend got sick, so now I'm just making chicken.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That's
are you making her chicken?
You're making chicken soup?
No, I bought her chicken soup last night from the Flame Diner.
The Flame Diner, yeah. Yes, I know that very well. It's right by the Hudson Hotel, and my wife used to work there before we moved out of New York and stumbled in there many a night. Had disco fries at 4 a.m. a couple times.
I ordered in some chicken soup yesterday. Today I'll be making some sort of chicken, probably rice, because it's easy to make.
Yeah, I feel better, Judy.
Yeah, thank you. You talk about anyone with speed being pushed up the board, Jake. And that leads me to the person that was taken right after you took AJ Pollock. That's Elvis Andrus. Elvis Andrus in the 4th round. Corey, Matt, hold up your hearts, please. What do you think of Elvis Andrus in the 4th round? We go. No way, says Modica. Corey Parsons says,
LOL.
And it's not that I hate the guy. I think he's going to. I guess if he hits 20 home runs again, I'm wrong. But everybody hits 20 homers. I just can't do it. He's not a fourth. This guy's in the 4th round. I'm going to take over him. Look, the option was, no, he was gone already. I'm just like, well, the fourth. I would have wanted Tommy Pham over him.
Oh, now you're
talking.
And
I'm not even a big. I'm not the Tommy Pham guy.
Now you're talking, my man.
The Tommy Pham guy.
Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham wound up going a few picks later in the 4th round. That's how high Tommy Pham has gotten up. Why did you say LOL to Elvis Andrus?
Because he just, I don't know. You can just, there's better people to pick in the 4th round.
Yeah, I agree. So that was Andrus last year. Last 2 years, the average has been right around 300, which is obviously very, very good. You know he's going to steal 25 bases, and that's really what Jake was saying. Any guy that had a chance to steal 25 bases, you got pushed up. He does that. He's going to steal 25 bases. Last year was the first year of his career he had double-digit home runs. He hit 20 of them. Last year was the first year of his career he had 100 runs scored. He doesn't walk. He doesn't really strike out either. What do you think of Elvis Andrus, Jake?
Yeah, it's funny. He's one of the ones that I enjoyed watching on the board this year because D. Gordon, Elvis Andrus, and Dallas Keuchel were all on my team last year, and now they're up like 5, 6, 7 rounds on all of them. So I was in on him last year for his price, and he actually was part of the reason I won the league last year. But at that price now, there's like I'm with Matt. No way. LOL. Like Corey said, there's no way I'm taking Andrus in the 4th round.
Yeah, and it's like the point that Corey makes. Guys that make these tremendous jumps up. I don't hate Elvis Andrus. If it was a couple rounds later,
for last year's production.
If it was a couple of rounds later, I'd be more than happy to draft him. But no, not in the 4th.
Yeah. So the rest of the draft, other names that interested me. Billy Hamilton is always interested. He goes in the 4th. Tommy Pham, my guy, he goes in the 4th as well. Let's hold up the hearts again because we were trying to figure out. Jose Barrios and James Paxton, they went back-to-back to your boy, Daily Roto, Dr. Roto. Paxton and Barrios go 5-6 at the turn to Dr. Roto.
Let's talk about that. That's interesting. Those are his first two pitches, Paxton and Barrios. I think it's Barrios.
Barrios.
Paxton and Barrios.
There you go.
If Scott was here, that's how we
Barrios.
Yes. Paxton and Barrios go at Dr. Roto as his first two pitches.
The aces.
Yeah, are those decent? Are those like decent fantasy aces?
Well, Paxton is all about injuries. I mean, it's all about innings and injuries. You know, if he can ever get injuries, I would have went with Paxton and Cole. That would have been my take on it. That's how I would have started. I wouldn't have went Paxton. I just think. Barrios is going to be good at some point. Is he going to make the full move this year? If I was going to take a risk, I would have taken Louis Castillo.
What do you say, Jacob? Is that a good start to a fantasy rotation?
There you go.
LOL on the whiteboard.
LOL. There you go right there. Hey,
I'm okay with the Paxton, especially if he stays healthy, but there's no way I'm drafting Barrios.
Yeah, that's why. Like, if you go Paxton and say you back him up with Cole, I mean, Cole's gotten, you know, basically 200 innings, two out of the last 3 years. At least you're getting.
Yeah.
You know. I would have definitely. I agree with the Cole there if I was going to do that.
All right, so cool. So that's good to know.
Now, I did hear a rumor, Jake. You can confirm if this was true, and I don't know if you guys talked about this on FST, this rumor from yesterday evening. Jake, I heard a rumor that you were auto-picked last night.
I ended up with auto pick because I got locked. The screen got locked. I had to switch browsers, and it got taken. It fixed. I didn't actually end up with the auto pick.
Oh, okay.
Now, what do you think about that? If he gets auto picked, like screen locks, you should just take the point. You know, he was helped out.
Depending on the draft.
Well, yeah, it happened like six times.
Yeah, and in this format, I think it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially that it's you know, everybody's
your name is on this. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's scattered around the country for that.
Yeah, right? And then your name is on this and this is important. People are gonna see this. So yeah, I think that's cool. If it's a mock draft, I'm just rolling with it.
Well, obviously it's a mock draft,
happened to somebody else twice actually, so I wasn't the only one.
Jake, I wanna ask these guys about your third pitcher off the board. Because you took Syndergaard, you took Ohtani. The third pitcher off the board, your starting pitcher, excuse me, off the board, because your closers are good, right? Ken Giles, Alex Coleman, no issues there. Your third pitcher, your SP3, is Gio Gonzalez. Please hold up your hearts.
We talked about Gio Gonzalez earlier this week when we did Washington Nationals Rotation Nation.
Swipe it right, says Corey right Parsons.
I'm a Gio guy. Gio, you know what Gio is. He's the back of the baseball card guy.
Not no way, but it's close. I'm not a Gio guy.
Give it an LOL.
Okay, we give it
Matt, will this help? Is this better?
Let's be friends. That actually is better.
That's a good one, Jake. Gio, as your third starting pitcher, for me, I'm just like, I don't want Gio as my third starting pitcher. Like, I get what kind of year he had last year. He's 32 years old now. And last year was good. 15-9, the ERA at 2.96. Matt, the XFIP was all the way at 4.24.
No, we talked about it, and for the reasons, like, Corey accidentally gave the wrong Steamer projection.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, Steamer really likes him. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. I got to look at the board and see what pitches were there. It's just, I'm not a Gio guy. I think last year was, I think Jake said it, his late career year, something like that.
Perfect Renaissance story. Year.
Yeah.
Jake?
Hey.
Why'd you take Gio?
Yeah, just because I don't think he's that's saying exactly what I said. Last year was his Renaissance career year, whatever you want to call it. Right. I don't think he's anything of that. I definitely just, but the value though, I mean, we're talking about Gio in the 13th round. I do what I did last year. I attack hitting. Hitting is controllable. Hitting, I won three categories in hitting, finished third in the other two, and I only won whip, and then I was pretty high in Ks, I was pretty high in ERA, and was very low on wins and saves. But I won the league because you can control hitting. You can find pitchers on the waiver wire a lot easier than you can in hitters, especially in a league this size.
I got a question.
Yeah, please.
I'm curious.
A little of my hearts.
Like Jake says, he wants to go heavy hitting, which is fine.
That's why he goes with Judge and Stanton back to back.
But Scott Pianowski went like 10 rounds, 11 rounds.
He went insane.
Without pitching.
Jesus.
And his
first, the first pitcher
before.
Wasn't even, did you, have you noticed, Matt, wasn't even a closer
Andrew
or
Miller.
A starter.
I think that's a little too extreme.
Did Pianowski comment on that?
I know.
No, he's just copying me from last year.
He's done it in Friends and Family, Yahoo, before. In a 12-team league, I could get it. In a 15-team league, if he pulls it off, I'm going to be damn impressed.
That's really crazy.
So would I be.
That's really.
By the way, somebody else who didn't get drafted?
Yeah.
Who's already dealing with bone spurs, Tulowitzki.
Tulo, already dealing with the bone spurs.
Just came through on Twitter. Yep, already dealing with bone spurs. Could be delayed to start the season.
Yeah, I have 0-2-0 this year.
Yeah, I'm not doing that too low. I'll say this. I do like Yan Hervis Solarte in Toronto. I think he's talented. You put him in Toronto, he's going to hit some bombs. He's a middle infielder, has position eligibility everywhere. I like Solarte, guys.
I do too.
I like him too. I still like Devin Travis. I took Devin Travis in 28th pick. If he ever gets healthy. If not, oh well, I caught him.
Oh, yeah, Devin Travis. He'd give you some value every now and then, too.
Yeah, he does.
I forgot about Devin Travis.
Where did Dustin Fowler go?
Dustin Fowler, we talked about, he went in the 26th round.
That was one of the six times DVR sniped me. Oh, God, I was so pissed off.
He didn't really snipe you. He was like three picks before you.
Well, that's close enough.
He's two picks.
Two picks.
Well, there's three picks. It's Pianowski, Sayre, and then Riper. That's three.
No, but it's two picks, as in, like, if there's two picks, if he moves over two, he's in front of me.
If somebody's in your queue,
yeah,
and they're taken in that round,
and it's that close.
That round?
No, I wouldn't put that round.
Come on.
That round.
No, that close. He's two picks apart.
I would put more like three picks. If it's within three picks.
I don't know.
I mean, you could really go literally law one.
I'll give you an example. I was going to take Cruz. He took him. I was going to take Hosmer. He took him. I was going to take... I'm going down the list here because I could just tell you by the rounds. I was going to take Wilson Ramos. He took him. I was going to take Dahl. He took him. Clevenger, Chatwood, and then Dustin Fowler. So that's actually more like, what, seven guys I named?
DVR did a nice job, but he's got Kingery, Fowler, and Frenchie Cordero. When I did the 12-team league on Saturday, I tried to make a conscious effort. Don't take guys that are not going to be on a roster. The only exception would be like Ronald Acuna.
Yeah.
That won't be on a roster to start the season. Otherwise, I have a Kingery everywhere. So, yeah, DVR. Kingery and Fowler. I think I do have Fowler on that team, though. Fowler. I do believe he will make it.
Is he like a manager in training, that little fellow that was walking about with the glasses on, the blazer?
He's been a manager here for about a year now.
He's already a manager in training. That's good.
He ain't got no hair on his chin or nothing.
He's been a manager for
How old
a year
is he?
Now.
12? He's like 12 years old.
I don't know what to tell you.
Wait, Matt, you think it's going to be Kingery?
I don't think I didn't draft him in the 12th team. He's not going to start the season. But when he gets up, I think he's a guy that's going to make an immediate impact. Like, he's going to be that.
See, I took the flyer on J.P. Crawford because people have forgotten about him. I mean, 2 years ago, people are going gaga over him.
Well, the thing I never understood about – I think Crawford could be, like, a good major league player. What does he do in fantasy? Is he a guy that's going to steal a ton of bases?
No, he's
does
just
he have
majority.
Power? Like, at least with Kingery, you got speed.
By the way,
and pop.
But to be clear, Matt's talking about Scott Kingery, I think.
Yes.
He can't just, like, randomly throw names out there.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I was into it.
You were.
I was into it.
Scott Kingery, Corey and I don't know who this is.
Scott Kingery is with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Prospect for the Phillies.
Yeah, second baseman.
Okay.
He had a really good season last year in the minor league.
Okay.
He showed he really drove the ball. He has, I'm trying to think of what the grade would be on speed. They would be graded very high.
And you think they're going to just start, let this dude start? He's never played a game in the majors before.
He's not going to start the season. That's why I wouldn't draft him in a 12-teamer. But I like him here in a 15-team league. When you get into the reserve rounds, he's a guy that I'm taking every time.
And don't forget, Greg, what I said is you can't pick these guys up until they make the major league roster.
Sure.
You can draft them, but once they go undrafted, like so, if Kingery didn't get drafted, nobody could pick him up until he's actually playing a game for the Phillies.
Is this guy considered a top prospect, Scott Kingery?
For the Phillies, he's become one of their he had a fantastic...
This year, last year, is insane in the minors. 26 homers, 29 steals, over 100 runs scored. I mean, that's one hell of a
that's
year.
That's why he's on pretty much all my draft champion teams.
This is a very impressive
year. Well, I don't know if he's going to hit 26 homers in the majors, but he should have pop, and he should steal a lot of bases, and it's a second baseman. So now, Jake, if you draft him, do you get to put him in a minor league thing here in labor? How does that work? Well, you got to be on your
team. No. You got to hold on to him.
Okay, but I think
that's the thing is if he drops him, you can't pick him up until he gets back onto it if he ever gets called up.
For me, it's worth the risk for now. I mean, Cesar Hernandez is the only guy ahead of him. I'm not a Cesar Hernandez guy, and if he has a really good camp. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be that long before he's in.
I have to. I don't know, man. Cesar Hernandez is still there, right?
He's still there.
Freddy Galvis.
The Phillies are a team.
Jamie Crawford.
The Phillies.
I'm glad we're entertaining you. We are on a video on YouTube.
I'm saying hi to the people, Greg. What are you talking about?
All I want to know is if Fantasy Exec gets a reply on one of his Happy Valentine's wishes, let's be friends. I want to know if that comes across.
You got in trouble with that before. That's kind of how the downturn started.
Look, we've seen players come into the league and really impact. And it seems to be younger and younger every year. So once I'm around the reserve round pick, if I can get a player that I have a good feeling is going to be up by June. I'm not the only one that's espousing these views. So, like I said, I'm not a dynasty guy, but he's a guy that I took in that dynasty league I did do this year, and he's pretty much on all my draft champions.
All right, so that's the deal with Scott Kingery, who I legitimately had no idea who he was.
It was Roto Camp.
I appreciate it. I need that hashtag Roto Camp. Corey, do you know
who this
guy is?
Here you go, Corey. This is for you.
What's up?
This is for you, Corey.
Be mine.
I
like the beat.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you.
Do you know who this guy? Did you just learn who that guy was?
Sky Kingery.
Yeah. What position and team?
He's a second baseman in the Philadelphia Phillies system.
There you go.
He hit 26 home runs and stole 29 bases, drove in a whole bunch of runs last year.
It's fine. Peace. Craig, he's going to ask you who the heck he was next week.
I probably will.
I agree. So you guys talked about this last show. I was listening to this, but Jake, I wanted to bring it back up because we're just talking about Kingery. You talked about Nick Williams and Aaron Altair. You own both of them. This outfield is very crowded right now, though. With both of the guys that you named, Rhys Hoskins has to go out there. Obviously, Carlos Santana is going to play first base. There's a lot of outfielders for just a few spots. Did you just pick Williams and Altair, figuring they're going to platoon? What was the deal there?
No, I actually think that if you look at it, you know, potentially, what if Herrera busts this year? And like not even what he did last year, but even worse, there's potential both of them to play. Obviously, that's unlikely, but for the fact is, I like Nick Williams' bat, but I think a lot of people are forgetting that Altair was very highly thought of just 2 years ago. And if Altair comes out and tears the cover off the ball in the spring training, he gets the job. Either way, I likely have the third starting outfield there. And yeah, either way, both of their bats are high level bats. If one of them outright wins the job, it's going to be because of a high level bat.
Oh, I like the way that he's pretty much covered himself here. And Altair, if he can stay healthy, I think that's a problem. I think that kind of led to his end of the season decline. I don't think he was truly healthy. So
I wonder where Scott going to take his wife for Valentine's Day tonight.
Why'd you call and ask him?
We should have had a Scotty Love segment for Valentine's Day.
Call him.
Oh, he's taking the Cheesecake Factory.
How you know that, Bavona? You guessing or you got or that confirmation?
He's done that before, and I figured that like he's probably one of those guys that likes to
Time out.
Can we call Scott right
time
now?
Time out. Scott won a lot of money in the GST League.
That's what
it
I'm exactly.
It better be more than the Cheesecake Factory.
Exactly. I don't want Scott at Apple,
Cheesecake Factory.
Applebee's on Queens Boulevard.
Let him put on a blazer, his wife get dressed up.
Scott, let's call Scott. Let's call Scott.
Hold on. If I'm spending that much money, I'm doing better than the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, I mean,
this show has gone off the rails.
Let's call Scott. Let's see what Scott's doing for Valentine's
Day. I wanted like surf and turf.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, man. He had a nice come up.
Let's get Scott's wife on the phone.
He go day shift. He go see Kiss concerts. Now it's time to do something nice for your wife. I want to make sure that Scott's doing the right thing.
Nice let's bottle call, of let's call Scott. Red wine.
Let's call the king, Scott Engel.
Scotty Love Day.
Scotty Love.
We don't know that he's going to answer.
No, we don't. Hopefully he does.
What do you need, Mike? What's up?
Hello?
He always answers like he doesn't have caller ID.
He don't.
Hello?
Scott Engel, the king. What's going on? Scott, you are you are on the Roto Experts podcast. Look at that. You are on the Roto Experts podcast, Scott. How you doing today?
How you doing there, Corey?
Oh, boy, here we go.
Happy birthday, Scott. Happy birthday. Happy Valentine's Day,
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, Scott, we was born to know.
Ain't my birthday.
No, it's not your birthday. It's always your birthday.
It was Sussman's birthday. Didn't he turn 50?
Yes, Sussman did turn 50 over the weekend, Scott. But, Scott, we call it.
I'm still 20 years younger than you, buddy.
This is you look like you're 55, though.
Again, 20 years younger than you.
All right. Scott, now listen.
I'm 50. You look like you're 50.
Yeah, Scott. Scott, so how you doing? I miss seeing you around the studio, Scott.
Yes, I miss seeing you guys too.
All right, Scott. Today is Valentine's Day. We would like to know where you taking the queen for Valentine's Day.
Actually, we haven't discussed that yet. To be honest with you, I think we might go out for Chinese food though. She likes Chinese food.
Oh, Chinese food. We figured you want all that money in the GST that you would be going someplace surf and turf, you know what I'm saying? Break out the Scotty Blazer, the Kango, you know what I mean?
No so, boo.
Yeah, you see.
Mr. Chow.
We've already done that a few times since I won.
Oh, really, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to see some pictures, Scott, because I think you're being selfish, Scott. I think you're being selfish going to see Ace Frehley and going day shift Scotty and buying a whole bunch of flavorful Kango. Goals and not looking out for the people around you, Scott.
Oh, please. She's got a new laptop.
Oh! Yeah. Very nice.
Shut you up real quick.
Yeah, he really did. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Scott. I see Scotty Love. Today is Valentine's Day, so it's Scotty Love Day.
Yeah, definitely a day for playing like Love is in the Air or something like that.
Very good, Scott. So I'm glad you're doing the right thing on Valentine's Day and every day of the year, Scott.
Well, thank you, Corey. Well, you know, I can teach you a lot of things, so
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, well, wonderful. You can teach me a lot of things, Scott. I bet you can.
Always good talking to you, King.
Scott, don't forget, today is about her, not about you. Every other day can be about you.
I could say something else about you, but I don't want to get kicked off the air. So.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Yeah.
That's the king, Scott Engel. You can go back to sleep now.
Yeah, I'm reading your articles from last year. I'm getting dozed off. Yeah,
no doubt. Let him go, Chris. I don't want him on here no more.
Do you have anything else?
That's it, Greg.
Okay, I think it's time to wrap the show up.
Nothing else. I have nothing else to report on as far as my Valentine's Day text messages.
I think it's time to.
I really enjoyed the. He went after the assessment.
I sat right here saying nothing.
He does love to come to you.
Unbelievable. All right, we're done. This podcast, I hope, was informative to you. I can't imagine it was. But if we found out who Scott Kingery was, so I guess that's an improvement. Corey's going to go home, thank God. VFFs, you want to listen to that podcast for some real information. For Jake, Corey, Matt, I'm Greg. Thanks for listening, I think. We'll see you next time.